Well, I got another 8 hours or so till the locusts come, because every kid's coming home for a month from college. It just gets to be exciting around our house. This is an exciting place to be, and frankly, a frightening place to stand, because there's so many people of power here. There are folks who, with a gavel, can make a decision and change somebody's life for years. There are people who, with a vote, pushing a button, can change our world and make it better or make it a little worse. We have people of all kinds of power here in law enforcement. We have people, and I'm hoping there's somebody here who can take a hint, because I bet there is a man or woman here who is in charge of roads and can get shic fixed so I don't spill my coffee on the way to church on Sunday morning. But for most of us, the real challenge that we have is not having power, it's using power. I struggle with that because I don't see the power that I have all the time. A lot of times I'm like that guy in the old preacher's story that comes back, bringing back the chainsaw, angry that it hasn't been working. He says, you promised me I'd be able to cut down 25 trees in a weekend. I've cut down 2. I said, well, I don't understand what could be wrong. Did you follow my instructions? Yes, I followed your instructions. I'm not a knucklehead. He said, I put the oil in, I pulled the trigger, I moved back and forth just like you told me to. He says, well, I don't understand what could be the problem. Let's take it in back, I'll plug it into the cord. And it's electric. I had this experience not too long ago. I call it the miracle of LaGuardia. Not knowing what power I had, or what power God had in my life. I was at a mission conference in the city of the New York Mission Society and was coming back. I don't sleep well when I'm traveling, and so I was tired. I was looking forward to a couple of hours on the airplane. I got to LaGuardia. I got to my seat, and I thought, God, if you just give me a quiet time, I will be grateful. And praise God, He put me right next to a woman who was not very attentive to me, was engrossed in a book, was reading Korean, was speaking Korean on the telephone, and had another book about quantum physics right at her hand. And I thought, this is going to be a quiet time. Until door closes, the captain comes on, and says, there's been a little problem in Chicago, and we're delayed by 20 minutes. I thought, not bad. Another 20-minute nap. I put my little blanket up. I put on my earphones and thought this was going to be swell. Well, 20 minutes turned into another 20 minutes, turned into 45 minutes. And when the captain says, you can get out your cell phones again, you know you're in trouble. I used my cell phone. I had some place to be, I thought. I had something to do, I thought. And God had other things in mind. You see, I called my friend, and I'm not going to use his name because I don't want you to know who this is. I called my friend Fritz, who's an air traffic controller. And I said, Fritz, things are so mixed up, I can see 15 other planes on the tarmac with me. I know we're not going anywhere. And if by the time things are this messed up, you're just picking out random numbers, could you guys pick out American Airlines 628? I want to tell you, 20 minutes later, we were wheels up. And the woman took me by the hand and said, you are powerful, man. And I said, I'm not really, I just got a powerful friend. Well, my quiet time turned into a conversation, a long conversation. You see, God was using me at that moment. I was trying to rest, and God had other plans. This woman was coming to Chicago to make a speech at 3 o'clock and couldn't miss it. She'd become a new Christian. She was studying at Columbia, getting her second doctorate in physics, and she was going to make the announcement to her friends and her colleagues that she'd come to know the Lord. And she was going to say, despite every evidence that she had learned to the contrary, He's the creator of the world. And she's seeing His fingerprints throughout everything. She had something to do. And I had something to do with it. We talked for 2 hours, all kinds of things. Talked about her family as she was a new Christian. I talked and prayed with her about what she was going to do next, how she was going to find a place to worship, how her kids were going to hear the message of hope that she had come to know. Well, at the end of our 2 hours, after we prayed, she took my hand and she said, "You are a powerful man. You know Jesus." Friends in Christ, that is the power we have. It's the power all of us have. While we were still powerless, while we were still dead in our sins, Christ came and died. And He gives us the power to not just be the family of God, be sisters and brothers in Christ, but to be His vision for hope for the world. Have you thought about that for you? To be God's vision of hope for the world. If no one else is going to do it, it's got to be us. We who know the love of Christ, know the sweetness of forgiveness. We who have been blessed in our baptism with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith. We who have a place to go and a reason for life. We're the powerful people of this world. Now, I got to tell you, I've got a lot of powerless experiences with all of these children. They just have their own kind of direction in life. I have 8 kids and 9 cars. I have powerless moments when I wonder if it's ever going to be right. I've had the specific challenge of singleness again, and wondering if God could ever provide. And the other night, now don't anybody say this, but the other night I had a young man who came and talked to me and said, I'd like to make this a permanent relationship with your daughter. Don't tell her. It's still coming. That's a powerless moment, but a powerful moment. Because what I was able to say to him was, I have been praying for you my whole life long. And what I was praying was that God would provide for my daughter someone who just flat out loves her. And someone who will love her forever. Friends in Christ, this is who we have. We have a God who loves us so desperately. He gave up everything. It says in Philippians, he emptied himself. He let go. He did not grasp power. But instead, he taught us what real power was. And we can live in that hope. We can live in that peace. And we can live with that strength. That's why I chose this section from Isaiah. I love it. It says the hearts of all of us. It says, the Lord has forsaken me. Lord's forgotten me. The prophet reminds us. Though a mother may forget a baby nursing at her breast, I will never forget you. See, I have you graven on the palms of my hands. And that means that every time that God lays bare his holy arm, he raises up his arm, he rolls up his sleeve and gets involved in our world, he sees John, despite giving Jack a heart attack this morning. But he sees John. It's right there. And he sees Mary. And he sees Esther. And he sees Audrey. And he sees Amy and Julie. And he sees John. And he sees Chuck. When he sees that nail-pierced hand, he sees you. Friends in Christ, you are powerful people. You know Jesus. Your kids need to hear that from you. You know, it's easy to get through life in this time and not say it exactly, boldly, and directly. We all kind of assume with one another, this is what we believe. But have you said it to your kids? Have you said it to your spouse? About how God has blessed richly your life with them. And the faith that you have in the Son of God is a faith that moves you to hope and joy every day. Have you said it out loud? Now, not everybody is in a position where every moment you can say, I did this because Jesus. But here's what you can do. Whenever you're acting, whenever you're moving, whenever you're deciding, and whenever you just choose to fix Schick Road, what you can say is, I am doing this because God loves me, and he's given me the power. In his name, I act. Sisters and brothers in Christ, have a great Christmas as we gather around the manger and as we celebrate the coming King.